Okay, thank you, the organizer, for inviting me to this sunny place in a winter season. So what I will speak is something about that we just finished with Herbert. We were motivated by the works that started appearing, the first of Tocensko and then by Kurt, where they were able to, they obtained some formula for time-time correlation. However, the formula looks relatively complicated, so we decide to look, try to look at a simple system in which we know by experience that when we do a simulation in a relatively, in the size where the computer still manage and the time where also is not too large, we know that the one-point distribution converge very fast. So the difference between the limiting result according to the KPZ scaling theory and the theory and the experiment is similar. So we started doing the simulation, then we noticed some stuff which were a bit surprising, and then we continued. So I will not have a theorem to present, a mathematical theorem. There is one result which is almost a theorem, provided that one have a stronger convergence of one result, but and some results which are more heuristic argument showing, and we will verify that this heuristic argument fits actually with the experimental setup. So in order, we will not consider the most generic system. We will consider the exclusion process or the last passage percolation. And first I give the connection. So first I say what is the last passage percolation. You have two axes, psi and j. You put here some IID random variable. And then you consider for any two points, say 1, 1, and 3, 2, all the paths which goes one piece, which are formed by pieces like that and pieces like that. So here you can go like that, or you can do this or this. So to each pass, you associate a length or an energy, how you want to call. It's just the sum of the randomness you see. And then the length, the maximal length is the last called last passage time from one point to mn, in this case 3, 2, is the maximum over the length over all possible paths. It's a zero temperature, and this is a zero temperature case of the polymer model that you also know. So this is connected, tightly connected with the exclusion process. In the simulation, we will do in the exclusion process. However, some of the explanation I will give are much more visible in this language. Therefore, I want to consider the last passage percolation point of view as a model. So the order is the exclusion process that you already know. You already saw even more complicated version this week, where particle can sit on Z and can jump on, in this case, only on the right with rate 1, provided that the site is empty, otherwise they don't jump. And since the particle remains ordered, we call xk of t the position of particle with label k at time t. And for instance, when we speak about step initial condition, means that xk of 0 is minus k. Now, the relation between this picture and this picture with step initial condition is relatively simple. If you take the omega ij to be exponentially distributed with parameter 1, then this omega ij will be the waiting time that the particle with label j waits when it's allowed to jump from site minus j plus I minus 1 to minus j plus 1. So that if you look in detail, you see that the last passage time is the time when the particle with label n reach already made m step. And since it started from minus n, it will be at position minus n plus m. So there is a nice relation between these two. So if you want to analyze this random variable, you can do by analyzing last passage time and vice versa. This was the last passage percolation when you have one initial point and one final point which are fixed. This is what we call point-to-point problem. It's connected with this step initial condition, when all the particles lie on the negative axis and nothing is on the right. In this talk, we consider three geometries. The first one is the one that we consider now. The polymer starts from one point and arrives to another fixed point. So the point-to-point problem corresponds to step initial condition. The second is the point-to-line. So we maximize not over all possible paths from zero for the origin to a point, but from this line to a point. This corresponds to have in the exclusion process to have one particle every second initially. And this we call flat initial condition. And the last one is the point to a random walk line. This corresponds to F in the Tasse point of view, initially the occupation variable to be just a Bernoulli with a density. In our case, we will take density 1/2, but otherwise, if depending on the slope that we have here, if you have the density, then you have a random. So the stationary initial condition on Tasse is our Bernoulli with parameter rho, and this corresponds to a random walk line with a slope depending on rho. So slope 1/2, minus 1/2, when the density is equal to, so slope minus 1 when the density is 1/2. So now, if you want to consider, if you want to study anything in the up in this triangle, in this quadrant, there is, because of there is a Burke's property, you can replace all the randomness on the left and on the right by just another set of random variables, which are still exponentially distributed, but with another parameter. So this is the picture we will consider later. And also, if you want to consider this point to going to infinity, then the fact that you have a finite number of points which are where you that you don't consider, you can put zero or can put anything, it doesn't make a difference in the asymptotics. So this is the picture that we will consider where this line goes up to zero for the stationary initial condition. Now this is the picture, the three-dimensional picture of the where you here you have I, j, and here the last passage time. It looks something like that. Now, if you fix, for example, at a fixed height here, this corresponds one-to-one to the position of the particle, the tacit particle at time t, if you cut at a height t. So if you cut, for example, if you look at j fixed, and you look at the trajectory for j fixed, this give you all the information of the trajectory of a particle with attack particle, the particle with label n. But we can also look at the cut I equal to j, so the diagonal here. Then this corresponds to look at the information of look at the history of the integrated current at the origin. Now I want to show a small simulation in which I started with one particle every second to the left, and I measure the tack particle and current at the origin. So I measure the current at the origin, I measure the displacement of a tack particle, I just take the most left particle that I have in the simulation. I subtract the law of large number, I divide by t to the 1/3, and I will show the picture, what is going on. So so this corresponds to the time zero, and here is the present time. At the moment, the time is still low. They look relatively similar. If you let it run a little bit longer, you will see something like this, for example. Later, maybe I'll show again what is going on. So if you look at this process and this one, from an optical point of view, they look quite different. And the reason is that they are actually very different processes. So the tag particle, so here is like time zero and time t. The tag particle process indeed has a correlation length of order t to the power 2/3, while the integrated current from here to here has a correlation length of order t. Let's see what. Here you already start seeing that this fluctuates much more, and this looks already more correlated in time. I rescaled vertically such that the fluctuation here, according to the theory, here and here are exactly the same scale, so that the picture are comparable. But here is much more rough. So the reason is that actually, if you look at the space and time, which correspond in this picture to look at the different cut here, there are some. If you look at the special correlation, this will be of long at time t, will be of order t to the power 2/3 according to KPZ scaling theory, and it works. But if you look at this in space-time, there are some special lines, what we call characteristic lines, where the decorrelation, which means that the height function or the integrated current in this case, changes of order t to the power 1/3, because t to the power 1/3 is the typical fluctuation scale. In order to have a difference of order t to the 1/3, you need to wait of order t. So there is a scaling exponent 1. So for example, in the flat initial condition, the characteristic with density 1/2, the characteristic position, characteristic line are just the timeline, the vertical line. While in the, or in this last passage percolation are the one that goes in this direction. While if you look at the step initial condition, are all these ray leaving the origin. So in principle, what we want to study is a two-parameter family, the last passage time from, say, this line to a point of order, say, tau t minus, and so tau t, so in this region of order t with a parameter coefficient tau, and fluctuation in this, in the special direction, are order t to the 2/3. So we would like to study this one, center on this scale. Now what we consider here, we will consider w equal to 0. We will look exactly along a characteristic to simplify. And also to simplify the presentation, we consider density 1/2, so that in all the cases that we consider, we have always the characteristic, so the line position 0 at time t. This line is a characteristic line for all the three cases. So we don't have to use different formula for different cases. And what we study is the integrated current until time t. If t is jt, and we look at the current until tau t, you subtract the law of large number and divide it by t to the 1/3. And this, the limit when t goes to infinity, is what we call the rescale process, q on t. For this, it was already known since about 15 years, what are the one-point distribution. So the one-to-point distribution are for the step initial condition or point-to-point last passage percolation, GUE Tracy Williams distribution. For the flat are related to the GOE Tracy Williams distribution. And for the stationary case are given by the Pike range distribution. In the following, I will ignore all the power 2 to some power 1/3 or something to simplify a little bit the formula. But in the paper, they are contained. So last week, for the one people which were here, or not me, but already heard a talk, an experimental result talk by Takeuchi, and you can find online his talk. He already considered experimentally this process on at different times, for the in particular for the flat on the step initial condition. In 2013, using a replica approach, Dotsenko found a formula, an expression for the joint distribution of the process at different times. It's not completely under control. As we know, the replica hopefully is right, the formula, but the replica, of course, is not mathematically under control. Very often, we could see that actually holds, and hopefully is true. And Johansson is considering a polymer model that will be presented in the next talk. He found a formula for the joint distribution, even at away from the characteristic line, but simplify, say, for the joint distribution at 2 times, and then took the limit when the time goes to infinity. So whether the two formula agrees is analytically was not yet proven. Hopefully, you're right. But it's not when you have the formula are relatively complicated, as you will see in the next talk. It is not so easy to analytically verify equivalence. So therefore, what we wanted, we consider, we started doing a simulation for the test. And now, and then we noticed some stuff which were a bit surprising at first. So if you look at the covariance, I call C step, the covariance between the my rescaled process at time tau and the rescaled process at time 1. For the step initial condition, when tau goes to 0, which means that they tend to decorrelate, so it should go to 0, and go to 0 like tau to the power to third, and the same for the stationary initial condition, while for the flat initial condition is like tau to the power 4 third. Now, what is funny, as you will see from the explanation, is that this tau to the 2/3 and this tau to the 2/3 has completely different physical origin. They have nothing to do between them. So if you look at the last passage picture, this picture for the stationary looks much closer to this one. However, the result is different. So at first, looking at just at this picture and this one, you might think that the stationary and the flat should have the same power law, but it's not the case. While if you look when tau goes to 1, which means the 2 times where you look are close to each other, then the covariance will go to the limiting covariance, that is the variance of the process, minus correction of order 1 minus tau to the 2/3, and this in all the cases. The point is the heuristic argument that we'll present, I will present only for step, but is the same argument for all the three. And then I will show the numerical result that confirm this, that are compatible with this explanation. So what we look, so the characteristic line that we choose are the line that in time are vertical in the last passage percolation, which means is the line with slope 1. So we look one point A1, that is just T over 4, T over 4, and one point A tau is tau times this point. And then I call EU just another point. So here I have P tau will be the max, the polymer that maximizes the length from 0 to a tau, and P1 the max, the one that maximizes the length from 0 to A1. And this will cross this line at some position I tau and will be crossing of order T to the 2/3. Because the lateral fluctuation, as you know from a result of Johansson, will be actually T to the 2/3. Now what do we know? So we know if you look at the process from 0 to e tau. This will be an airy process minus a parabola, and the same, the process from I tau to A1 will be an airy process minus a parabola. And the randomness on the second part and the first part is completely completely independent. This means that in formula, if you look the last passage time to this first point and center on the scale, this will be an airy process at time zero, and the process from zero to I tau will be an airy process minus a parabola. And from I tau to A1 will be an airy process minus a parabola. And the fact that the randomness here and here are independent implies that the two airy processes will be independent airy processes. So what we have to analyze, or to say something about, is the correlation between the airy process at time zero, this A2, and this expression. This expression comes only from the fact that the last partial percolation from zero to A1 is the maximum over all intermediate point of the sum of these two. If you do the sum of these two, you get this one. Just rewrote to have a tau to the one third in front of everything. And this tau hat is tau divided by 1 minus tau. So now, if you look first at when tau is small. When tau is small, tau hat is like tau. So there are two quadratic terms. So this is of order tau, smaller than this. So this essentially is irrelevant when tau goes to zero. And then we have this object. So we have an airy process at a distance of order, a small order. But now we know that the airy process locally behave like Brownian motion. It was proven first in a weak, say, just for the joint distribution of the increment by Heck, and for a more stronger limiting statement is a more recent paper by Ivan and Almon. So we know that this middle point, when tau becomes small, is essentially like a Brownian motion. So for small tau, if you look at the covariance is what? It's the covariance between this and this. So there is a t tau to the one third in front of the two, so we have a tau to the two third, times the covariance between the airy process A2 at zero, and the other is the maximum between airy process minus a parabola plus a Brownian motion, essentially. So this we can also rewrite in a slightly different way. You can, and this one important is that this Brownian motion is actually independent of this airy process, because this is actually this one. So you can also write conditioning on B, you would have this expression. Now here is one point which is far away to be a mathematical proof, it's more only a heuristic argument, is that, so if you look at typical realization of the Brownian motion, this will grow like just a square root of t, or square root of u, so the flux, which means, and the max, and this is stationary, the process is stationary, the airy two process, and the maximum, because of this u square, which dominate everything when u is large, this maximum will be reached for u of order one. On the other hand, we know, so when u is of order one, the covariance between the airy two process at zero and airy two process at some u of order one will be of order one, will not go to zero or going to, will be just of order one. So it is why the whole stuff here is expected to be just of order one. So the covariance for the point-to-point problem or step initial condition should go to zero like tau to the two thirds. Now, if you look, when tau goes to one, so if you look close to here, well, for the point-to-point problem, you can invert the picture, you get the same result. So the position, the value of u where the maximum is reached will be, if you look in detail, will be like 1 minus tau to the 2/3, just because of how we define the object, which means it's good to do a change of variable called u of order t to the 2/3, 1 minus tau to the 2/3, and there is a w. So what you get in the end is that the covariance will be roughly the covariance between the Re2 process and this object, if you condition A2. And now the maximum here will be reached for V of order 1. And also we know that the Re process is locally Brownian, which in particular, if you look at just the covariance of the Re process at time 0 and at time of order V, this will be like the variance minus the absolute value of V. And from this, then you deduce that the covariance should become like the variance plus correction of order 1 minus tau to the 2/3. Of course, this follows directly from symmetry for the point-to-point. You don't have to do another argument. For the point-to-line or the point-to-random line, the same argument holds, except that this, instead of this A2, we will have maybe an Re1 process or an Re stationary process, but all these processes will be locally Brownian. So the same argument goes through for all the three cases. And this explains why when tau goes to 1, we get the same power, the same correction behavior. So the prefactor, the coefficient in front, cannot be computed so easily from this expression. But now for the point to line, it's a little bit different because the maximizer is not obliged to come back at 0. So actually, typically, the fluctuation of the point to line here will be of order t to the 2/3, which means actually, with a high probability, actually, the randomness that is used by this last part of the maximizer on this one is different. Since all the entries are independent, they are essentially decorrelated. So for this case, you can also do the same. The last passage time from the line, this line, to this point IE will be an Re1 process. The parabola is not there anymore. This is the reason why there is not. So in the first case, there was a parabola, and this, as a consequence, made that the point here was very close to this one when tau goes to 0. Now this parabola is not there anymore, so this is free to move around. And then the formula are essentially the same, except that in the first element, instead of an Re2 process minus a parabola, you just have an Re1 process. Now, however, the asymptotic is different because typical value of u where this maximizer to this point will pass by will be of order tau to minus 2/3 when tau goes to 0. Also, we know that the Re1 process, the covariance decay more than exponentially. So all the contribution coming from the pass maximizer that goes away of order tau to some power, minus power, will go to 0 with respect to the leading term. So what remains is actually only the contribution whenever this maximizer and this one interact. And this happens with a smaller probability. So the probability that they use the same randomness, so which means the probability that this one come a distance of order 1 from this one, u of order 1, is just of order tau to the 2/3. But once it's coming close, then the heuristic is exactly the same as the step initial condition. So the covariance for the flat case when tau goes to 0 will be of order tau to the 2/3, this one, times the typical scale of the step case. So it will be tau to the 4 over 3.
Mm-hmm. Another question. Do you estimate the root 2 things. We always need to know what the overlap is between between my groups, and is it a finite, I mean, it has to be a finite fraction of the first part expressions just going to one, or is it a finite expression?
For the point to point?
Yeah.
Let's see.
So the two graphs will be
this one?
One side, yeah.
This, well, there is not a mathematical estimate. This will be of, is expected to be just a order one, a fraction. No, just order one cannot, so the one, this is known, for example, if you have these two, a way of order t to two thirds, we know that the last branching point is of order t away. So it cannot be one, it has to be a bit less. So this is known for the, but this, is we've, you know, I think it was my first small paper where we showed for the Poisson point model, if you have 2 points, which this, if the distance is t on this order t to the two thirds, then the typical distance is already order t. This was coming from essentially the same argument of Johansson of the lateral fluctuation adapted to just to look at the last part. So it's not that this branching is not small o of t away from this point. It will be of order.
So
it's of order t. Yes. So we have only one upper bound. We don't have the other one. But it should be of the same one. Because if it would be just going to zero, the overlapping, then these two will should be essentially independent. So it will not work. But it's not a proof. Now for the stationary case, is slightly more, it looks similar. So if you look at the maximizer from this, so we have one picture is when you have this randomness on the edge to be some randomness, some exponential random variable with a different parameter. So the picture looks like that. So the typical distance here where it is crossing is very far away, like in the point two line problem. Essentially, there is no contribution of the covariance coming from this part and this one. However, if you look at the past, they have some stuff in common here. So if this one arrives on the other side, they will be independent, but if the two maximizer use the come back to the same axis, then you have some correlation coming from the initial condition. So the formula are the same as before, except that you have a stationary process, the area is stationary instead of area one. And now, so what happened here? So here you have a sum of independent random variable, which means by Donsker's theorem, it's just a, in the scaling limit, it's just a, we have a Brownian motion. And now everyone knows what is the covariance of a Brownian motion. It will be the maximum, the minimum of the two times. And from this, you deduce that so the covariance in the stationary case will be in the unscaled variable, like t to the minus one third, like the covariance of the last passage time to the C1 and C tau. And as I said, this one scale to be become Brownian motion, and from this you easily deduce that it's just tau to the two thirds. So because the typical point, this typical distance here will be tau to the two thirds, and the typical distance here will be in the unscaled variable of order one. So the minimum between tau to the two thirds and order one will be tau to the two thirds. So the reason of where the stationary covariance when tau goes to zero has the same power as the point to point is completely different. In one case, it's just the dynamical. In one case, it's just the noise in the initial condition. So then here are some numerical results for the TESE, for where we look at two different size. So in order to see that we don't essentially don't have finite size corrections, we made, I don't remember what were the times where we look in the paper are written, maybe 100 to 1,000 or something like that. Here are the point of the covariance. I rescaled to put everything within 0, 1 and 0, 1. So divided by the variance. For the step case, here I made a numerical interpolation with the power law that we expected from the heuristic, and it looks very good. And here is the log-log plot with the slope to first and here to first, but as seen from this point. This for the flat case, here is the slope is 4 over 3, and here is 2 over 3. And finally, for the stationary case, here we have interpolated according to this function that I want to explain in the last 5 minutes. From where this function comes from. And the interpolation is quite pretty, quite precise. So now, the last part, I want to essentially explain how we obtain the covariance of for the stationary case. So for this, we consider the first TASE with stationary initial condition. I just introduced the big J is the integrated current, and the small j is the empirical current. So the big J will be the integration over time of the small j. One ingredient in order to get this result is that we already know for the scaling limit of the two-point function. So if you look at the covariance of the occupation variable at 0 times 0 and at j at time t, called sjt, the scaling limit, I will show in the next slide, of this when t goes to infinity is known. And then we will use also what we call a sum rule, is that the variance of the current can be written in terms of the two-point function in this way. So here is the empirical. This is for stationary. So we have the small j, these are different j. This is the real empirical current, and this is just what you expect if you have Brownian Bernoulli initial condition. So if you do a small perturbation on your system, this will go around in, you will see the perturbation moving in the system, and the speed will be the derivative of this current. And we consider the density 1/2, so that this speed is 0. So in order to see some non-trivial result, you have to look along the characteristic. And if you have a density that is not 1/2, the characteristic is not the pure timeline, but is the line with going with speed v of rho. Now, if you look at the, I give only the ingredient, the current covariance means now the current intensity. So not the integrated current. So if you look at the same time, you have a Dirac. So if you look at the covariance of the current at the same time, if we look at the expected value minus j squared, at the same time you have one Dirac term, and plus a smooth part. The smooth part can be computed. You can see in the paper how it was computed. The smooth part can be written as an average over the Bernoulli, the stationary measure, that is Bernoulli, of this quantity. And L is just the generator, and this R are just given by the occupation variable. So just to know, so the current covariance is given, there is a term which is a bit singular, when you look at the same time, on one term, which is smooth. Now, the scaling theory that we will use tells us that this two-point function at time t will scale. Now we look like a key. Key is rho 1 minus rho for TASEP in our case, and gamma is, in our case, key square. It's just but generically, there are more, the formula is slightly more complicated. In our special case, we know exactly gamma and key. So the scaling function will goes to zero, the two-point function like t to the to thirds, which means if you have a small perturbation, this effect will spread out of order t to the two thirds. So the height will become going to zero like t to the minus two thirds. And this scaling curve, Kp's scaling result formula is also known. Here I wrote just in the case where this, the characteristic lines are the timeline. Otherwise you have to replace j minus v of rho times t. Now, if you use the sum rule, you eventually you get that the integral of the Kp's scaling function has a relation between the, some integral of this smooth part of the time-time covariance. And since, and from this, you can see down it's quite easy to, if the left-hand side goes to infinity like t to the two-thirds, it means that the right-hand side, the height, the h function, should go to zero like t to the minus 4 over 3. And because of this minus sign, there will be a minus sign here. And the c0 is given explicitly. So when t goes to infinity, should have this decay. We will see if this decay fits with the numerical simulation or not in a moment. Finally, if you want to look at the covariance, you have kind of integrate over time. So you have you have this function, and then you have just to integrate over time the intensity, because each one of these, so j of t is the integral from 0 to capital T of the empirical current, and the same for the order. And for the empirical current, we know what is the covariance. And from this, using this scaling behavior for where t goes to infinity, you deduce that the covariance will be, here is missing a factor 1/2, I think, is like this object times this. So there is a, so if you take this and divide by t to the 2/3, because you have to do when you consider our scale variable, you will get the covariance if that is proportional to this one. And this, you look, is the same covariance that you would have if the, your process would be a fractional Lagrangian motion, but we know that the process is not Gaussian. For the one-point distribution, it's not Gaussian. It's not a Gaussian distribution. Therefore, we know in advance that the process is not Gaussian. However, if you look only at the covariance for the stationary case, we'll have the same covariance of a fractional Lagrangian motion. So now I wanted to show the picture of this. So for we simulated the TACEP. And we looked at the numbers. We have to do quite a lot of averaging in time, but this is what we get. And the solid line is just the theoretical approximation when t goes to infinity. And if you look at the log-log plot, you see that it's also quite nicely fitting. So what we have seen is that when we were able to determine the limiting covariance of the process precisely. And this is almost a theorem in sense if one could prove that in the TACEP that the limiting, so essentially here you have this object. If you put the scaling, of this one, if you can prove that the limit of this, you can take the limit inside, so the limit of this is for TACEP is equal to this, then you are done. So this last step is not present in the literature. It's almost proven. There is one gap that is, however, quite technical. Up to this convergence assumption that also the first moment, so the absolute value of x, so provided that this converges, we know that if this would be a smooth function, smooth bounded function, this object would converge to this one. The only fact that here is we don't have a smooth bounded function, but the absolute value of x. But since this function decays actually more than exponentially, there is no doubt that this will be the right result. Now, according to my pointer, my 45 minutes are exactly finished, so I should stop here.
Thank you very much. So are there any questions or comment?
Do I understand correctly that if you give your result in terms of original KPZ, you fix first time and then you take the second time to infinity, then the correlation function of HH will decay like this T, which goes to infinity, decays as T to the power of 4. Mm-hmm.
Right? That will be the decaying. This will be the kind of
Just decay of the correlation function of two mm-hmm. free energies, of H of KP. It's T to the power minus 4 over 3. Right?
Mm. The T, in mind, is like 1 over tau here. Yes, so.
One time is fixed, and the other time you take to infinity.
Tau is the ratio between the smallest one and the big one, which means, depending on the initial condition, it goes to zero in different ways. For the point to point, is like tau to the minus 2/3. So.
Yeah, I think I probably have the same question. So there are these old results for the temporal correlation function of the KPZ equation, which in sort of my scaling has a decay which is 1/T for the flat case and something else in the curved case. I mean, there were these results by Singer from 2005 and by us from 99. So is this? I suppose that this translates into your under sort of appropriate reformulation translates into the same thing, but I'm not sure. So that's my question.
I remember well, we spoke a little bit with Takeuchi, and he knew about there was some result in this direction. And the prediction were compatible with what was already expected, and also compatible with its measurement.
I mean, what I also remember is that in the curved case, this correlation function that I'm talking about actually doesn't decay to zero at all.
Yes, because
whereas in the flat case it does. So that's sort of a.
Because here it goes to zero because if you look at the definition, here we divide by t to the 1/3. So if you look at just this you can think at the height in the KPZ picture. If you look at the height correlation without scaling by t to the 1/3, this does not go to zero. And this is exactly related to the fact that they have a common part that is always there. So this initial correlation will not disappear if you don't divide by scale. But if you do the scaling, then it will be there.
Any other questions? Okay, if not, let's just send the speaker today. So we have a lunch, the morning break. So okay. So the next talk we resume at 10:30.